Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep. Stimulate those who are awakened. Feed those who are starving. And nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the Creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please, press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 if you want to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.logtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought, PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, mixed messages during protests. There appears to have been multiple agendas expressed during the protests in the aftermath of the murder of George Floyd. Many united in nonviolent protests. Some engaged in destruction and looting. Some watched it all unfold in their neighborhood and in the media. There are reports of agitators encouraging destruction and looting. Well, first, I would like to thank all those law enforcement officers who took a knee and walked and talked with the protesters. I want to thank you guys because that was took a lot to do that in that situation. And I also want to thank the Long Beach Crips for preserving their neighborhood from looters. You want to see that? Check it out on the internet. So it appears there are multiple agendas occurring simultaneously alongside each other during the protests of the murder of George Floyd. If there are multiple groups with different agendas on the same battlefield, that would explain some of the chaos. A conflict of interest is present when a nonviolent protest is infiltrated by violent protesters. When those violent and destructive protesters act as agents of the nonviolent protesters, when they represent themselves, all right, that's some secret agent stuff, that's like a spy or something. They perpetuate their agenda under the disguise of the nonviolent protesters or organizations like Black Lives Matter, right? BLM, right? That is suspicious and deceptive. Just as a black woman stated, the violent and destructive white individuals are committing crimes that literally will be attributed to the nonviolent movement, Black Lives Matter. How? By spray painting BLM on property. This one particular incident. Being destructive and shouting out Black Lives Matter. So they spray painting and stuff, being destructive, you know, destroying things and talking about Black Lives Matter. And that seems premeditated. Because it's happening repeatedly. As a friend told me, when you see something occurring repeatedly, that's not an accident. So that seems premeditated in the case of white people perpetuating violence amongst the nonviolent Black Lives Matters and other protesters, that is like a white person wearing blackface to commit crimes that will be attributed to blacks. In this case, the peaceful protesters, Lives Matter movement. Fortunately, we have media coverage that confirms the attempts at hijacking the peaceful protests. It is a setup and a frame. It also is a direct violent assault on the nonviolent movement and organization. And that's very dangerous for a group of nonviolent people to go out. And within them, we have some people who's going to become combatants. If an organization wishes to be destructive and vandalized properly, they should be transparent and represent their movement, their cause, and accept anything but to infect a nonviolent protest with their violence and wanton destruction. That is not helping the nonviolent movement, the cause, or the purpose. Surely, we can agree that an unarmed, nonviolent group is ill-prepared to engage violently with an armed, quasi-military or military force. It does give the appearance that the nonviolent protesters have changed direction and become violent and destructive protesters, even predators. Once demonized, the nonviolent protest is viewed or proclaimed to be a threat that must be dealt with, dismantled, or dispersed. The nonviolent movement becomes the target of violence perpetrated by the same quasi-military organization that is guilty of repeated discriminatory aggression and violence towards blacks they are rarely held accountable for, not to mention others who have been unjustly subjected to the violence. The end result, the protesters face the brutality of a quasi-military police force, or worse, the U.S. Army. That is the formula for crushing a peaceful protest. Turn it into a destructive and violent mob, a mad dog that needs to be put down. The question is, why are these organizations or people who have a violent agenda conduct their own, why don't they conduct their own violent and destructive protests? Maybe it's because their plan doesn't work unless black folks become unruly, destructive, and violent. One report said to start a race war, another to initiate an anarchist revolution. They talked about white supremacists in the mix, which I thought that was weird. I wasn't on the ground, and I'm only doing this through what limited research that I can do. So they say white supremacists or whatever group who sees the moment to exploit the emotional and oppressed state of the black and impoverished community to advocate, perpetuate, and behave violently and perpetuate the destruction of the community are as much an enemy to the community as are rogue police officers who perpetuate violence in the community. Your purpose, nonviolent protesters, right? Blacks, Latinos, or even whites. If you're a peaceful person and you want justice, your purpose cannot be the same as a white supremacist group. White supremacy is largely a part of the reason blacks and Latinos are being oppressed, right? That's the whole reason why black people out there upset, attacked, neglected, misrepresented, and murdered, right? We're not saying that it's only happening to black people. It's happening to black people at a disproportionate rate. We only like 12-13% of the population. Anyway, that is like, you know, tearing up your own resources. That's like sleeping up, having these white supremacists within your midst of your protest is like sleeping with the enemy. Somebody's going to wake up dead. Who benefits most from the degradation and diminished capacity of the black community? Diminished capacity is a community with no resources, with less resources than they had previously. That's diminished community, right? No stores, no pharmacies, anything like that. White supremacists benefit from that. Black folks don't need help destroying their community. They need help building it up. Black, white, Asian, or Latino, anyone who seeks to destroy the community, resources in the community, and make the community unsafe or unfit for the members of the community is an enemy of the community. As anybody, I don't care what color you are, you be making yourself an enemy of the community. Undue hardship is one of the reasons people are protesting. It makes no sense to create and perpetuate hardships by looting and destroying what resources are available. Those white supremacists, or whoever they may be, are not forcing people to loot or destroy things. I've seen black faces looting and being destructive, and I've seen black faces speaking amongst protesting and nonviolence, speaking against looting and being destructive. I've also seen white faces being destructive and looting, and it was quite covered up, though. You know, they say one particular group, that's the way they roll, all black, basically covered up. So I've seen white faces being destructive and looting, and I've seen white faces protesting peacefully. I've heard people testify that people of many ethnic backgrounds were looting from Business Insider. Just some of the things going on here. White supremacist channel on Telegram on the Telegram, I guess, encouraged its followers to spark violence to start a race war. Ain't that something? The channel incited followers to engage in violence and start the boogaloo. Ain't that something? That's like a dance term for us. That is a dance. Back in the day, the boogaloo, that was a dance. That was a term used by some violent extremists to refer to the start of a second civil war. Well, they can't be too bright if they're trying to start a war with with a group of nonviolent protesters. So that's a slaughter, a massacre. Okay. Another thing, they had a white supremacist group weaponized the protests. I know in Philadelphia, I heard about these guys were blowing up the ATM machines. I don't know what they had, quarter stick of dynamite or more. Turned out one got caught. Same with the white guy that gave it to him. So he snitched on him. I don't know if they caught him or not, but that's how that went. One guy was killed blowing up an ATM machine. Meanwhile, several Republican office officials, including President Donald Trump, they say have blamed AFNA for the violence, and some have suggested protesters should be hunted down like terrorists. Gotta be careful of that type of language. NBC News also reported a group posing as AFNA, Antifa, as an Antifa, as an anti-fascist organization calling for violence in the protests, as actually being linked to the white supremacist group Identity Evoropa. I don't even know. Oh, so that's interesting. See, you got the double whammy there. You got people in a group posing as another people in a group. That's crazy. So, but it's kind of dangerous out there. The lack of screening of a screening process and the absence of an effective deterrent allow covert individuals to easily infiltrate the protests and act in defiance of the peaceful agenda. Usurpers should fear tainting, endangering, placing the lives of the peaceful protesters and the black community at risk. They should fear infiltrating and placing any organization at risk. All right? They did that freely, without fear. Future protests might strategically include its own police force in the future. So if you have I hope we never have another protest, but we still got to wait for these guys to be convicted or found not guilty or whatever the hell they're going to do with them. But anyway, it needs its own police force, which would be every peaceful protester in this case. Just as you separate the flowers from the weeds, you have to separate the people of peace from the usurpers of violence and destruction. Choose your friends wisely and beware of those who come in peace and bring destruction. Okay, and then there was like I was saying, the lady was spray painting Black Lives Matter. She had on all the black get up, looked like a ninja or something, you know what I'm saying? Seriously. And the black girl was telling her, what are you doing? Don't do that. You know, we didn't ask you to do that. And, the black girl said, tell them they're endangering black lives when you act out. It's across the nation. Thousands of people have flooded the streets to protest the police violence. And in the wake of Floyd's death, the protesters confront police brutality. Some are concerned that a number of white protesters are being needlessly aggressive. This is a report from the protesters, people on the feet on the ground, right? They're saying, hey, something going on here. These white people, some of these white people, they acting out. and putting their black and brown peers in danger. So they realize it. I don't know if they threw anybody out physically or not, but they should be afraid to do that. And several videos circulating on the social media, right? White protesters deface or destroy property as black protesters tell them to stop. And they're revealing some of the tension between the factions of people taken to the streets. So, that you know, I guess they have a verbal intervention, but, you know, when it comes to your life, sometimes you got to do more than just tell somebody to stop. I'm just saying. I know it's a peaceful march and everything like that, but you got to get those, you know, got to get those time bombs from amongst you. Lady was concerned. They're going to blame us, blame that on us. One video showed a white woman defacing the Starbucks store. That was the one, yeah, the spray paint. That was the one lady told her to stop. So we didn't ask y'all to do that, you know. So anyway, after violence and looting continue to mark the mostly peaceful protests across the United States, some figures are blaming shadow forces again. So people are noticing. They got some folks out there that's hyping up the violence. And I'm not saying black people not committing any kind of violence or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. But we have some people out there that's hyping it up. President Donald Trump has blamed some of the protests on Antifa, right? Anti-fascist group, right? An umbrella term for anti-fascist movement, and has sought to designate them as a domestic terror group, even though the U.S. law doesn't allow for such designation. Attorney General Bill Barr has also blamed Antifa and groups outside radicals and agitators for riots and protests. Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota and New York PD John Miller also outside agitators crossing state lines for violent crimes. So see, that's a whole new flavor right there. Like, that's another plan operating within a plan. And it's quite contrary. From Al Jazeera, Antifa, let me try to see what it's short. Antifa is a, it says, short for anti-fascist. It's not a concrete group, rather an a movement. Anti-fascists of the movement tend to the left fringes of the U.S. political spectrum, many describing themselves as socialists, anarchists, communists, and anti-capitalists, right? Anarchists are those who perpetuate the state of disorder due to the absence of non-recognition of authority. From the Encyclopedia Britannica, anarchy is a political in political science and the study of international relations, is the absence of any authority superior to nation states and capable of arbitrating their disputes and enforcing international law. The term anarchy derived from the ancient Greek root anarchos, without authority, denoting the absence of the rule of law. Now, surely we can't have lawlessness. That's the problem now. Wikipedia said Antifa, the movement in the United States, is a militant, predominantly left-wing, anti-fascist political activist movement. Let's just tell you a little bit about that. I'm not going to go into a whole bunch about them. So, there was another video in Baltimore, I guess, where a white protester was pushing a metal barrier with police officers on the other side, and a black woman tells them to stop. When you do that, she tells them, they don't come after you, they come for us. At the same scene, a group of black protesters carried away a white protester reportedly trying to riot. That's what I'm talking about. A group of black protesters carried away a disorderly white protester. Because these guys are trying to do that. They're lucky they got carried away. In Minnesota, Minneapolis, white protesters can be seen throwing bricks into the window of a building. Hold on. I'm trying to calm them down. A black protester tells the police officers aiming at them with guns. So, in Brooklyn, New York, black protesters form a line in front of a Target store. Well, we have a Target store in Philadelphia. The only line was formed was one going in and out of the Target store, unfortunately. They could be heard yelling, no, no, no. Okay? In Brooklyn, a group of black protesters stopped a white protester from smashing bits of a sidewalk with a hammer and handed him over to police. You know what I'm saying? So that's good stuff right there. You know, but the sad part is that it's happening within all of this chaos. And that, you know, the police are, I'm not excusing the police, but they people, they are, some of them are people with issues. It's going to knock you in the head. Some of them are people who are afraid. All of them, I'm assuming, want to go home. So, you know, makes the whole situation more volatile. Luckily, they're able to hand these people over to the police. I like that. Luckily, she's able to say to the police, hey, I'm trying to stop this. Even though the police should have been down there stopping it. Anyway. Rioting. A riot is a form of civil disorder commonly characterized by a group lashing out in a violent public disturbance against authority, property, or people. Riots typically involve destruction of property, public or private. The property targeted varies depending on the riot and the inclination of those involved. That means if it, whatever you inclined to do, who's ever out there, that's what could happen. So you got some people out there that have an inclination and want to burn, paint the whole town red. You have some people might want to just attack the businesses. You have some people just might want to go to downtown or the high-scale places. So like I said, it depends on the inclination. You know, I'll give you an example. The Long Beach Crips said nobody's tearing up their neighborhood. So they was inclined to maintain their community, which I love hearing that, especially from a gang. I've heard and read reasons for why people riot, lashing out against authority, but it doesn't explain the carnage and destruction of the community the rioters live in. Over 400 years of oppression, deprivation, rape, and murder may be the catalyst for this violent protest, and it should be expected with the continued injustices, abuses, murder, economic inequalities in this country. They should expect a riot every so often, because you don't change anything. The riot represents a violent response to over 400 years of injustice. In short, a society has its foot on your neck for all your life and the life of your ancestors, and you are way past, I can't breathe. You erupt violently because all the praying, marching, talking, voting has changed very little. Now you are simply angry, fed up, tired, and not being tired of not being taken seriously. You know, because anytime you kill a man, the way they killed George Floyd, that his life wasn't worth any kind of money to them. With no viable political outlet to address your social, political, economic, and physical genocide, you react. Right? The only thing you feel you can do is attack the agents of the force that has its foot on your neck. You attack, come what may. Right? Hell, you just bust. Bam! Tired of this, right? And you don't have any recourse because all your avenues of recourse, your representatives, your black politicians, your conservatives, it's supposed to be all say they looking out. Ain't none of them having any success. at saving lives in the community. And it's very easy not to choke a person out. That ain't a hard thing to do. Very easy not to shoot a man on the ground 16 times. That ain't hard. Very easy not to chase a guy running in a community, hit him with your truck, trap him, and shoot him 3 times. It's very easy not to do that. Very easy not to break in somebody's house and gun down a wrong house at that and just shoot the one of the occupants, murder them. Be mindful of our survival and history of deprivation. To destroy the resources the community needs to survive is an attack on the community of which resources have been destroyed. That is like punishing your community because society continues to punish your community. Taking away what resources the community has because the government has deprived the community of needed resources. This type of rioting is a form of self-mutilation. It doesn't matter that you do not own the properties in the community. Your survival and quality of life is dependent on those resources, what resources you have. Those who control government and a disproportionate amount of the wealth remain untouched of a riot. And as I previously said, the protesters don't all agree on the tactics. They say one of the reasons, the theories behind rioting is if the police don't value black lives, they say, then why value a building or a handbag? So that's a sign of a person who's just had enough. They need some air. And you had your foot on their neck, and they just burst. So that's what some of the people were out there. They were bursting with emotion, which made them vulnerable to some of these groups. I don't know if it's Antifa or white supremacist groups, and I don't know who it is. But that probably made them more vulnerable to people who tried to lead them into acting violent. And sometimes that's what you're gonna get when people don't have any outlets. You're gonna get violence. Looting or stealing consists of taking items of value. There was a guy on YouTube who stated, if there was to be looting, looters should target high-end businesses downtown. Looters should not destroy the businesses like the mom and pop stores in the neighborhood. Right? If you were a looter, would you tell people to come? If you had a store in the neighborhood, would you tell them to come knock your store off, burn your store down? No. So I mean, the store that you generally go to, like a supermarket, you ransack that supermarket, you shut the supermarket down. People in the supermarket almost every day. Pharmacy in the supermarket. So whether you know it or not, that has replaced foraging. Foraging is how we get our food. We don't hunt for our food anymore. We go to the supermarket. So imagine somebody taking all the animals out of the woods, destroying them. You don't have no animals. You can't eat. No corn. All the crops. They destroy all the crops. Things like that. So anyway, there was a young lady who emotionally stated that America had been looting blacks. So don't tell me about looting, something like that. She was very angry. Y'all been looting all this time. Now we do a little looting, and you having a problem. Y'all been looting for 450 some years. And I'm not saying that makes it right. I'm just saying I'm just trying to express other people's feelings about this situation. Not trying to say that it's right. Some other people ask questions. Say I do not condone violence or looting. But I understand it, Karen Smith said on Twitter. We've been fighting this battle for so long, and honestly, it's exhausting. Somebody else said, but I'm happy for the people because they decided to stand up violently. And why? Because MLK once said a riot is the language of the unheard. That's right. People feel helpless, like there's nothing left to lose, their lives, like their lives already hanging in balance, a wild swirl under directed waves is a logical result, New York Times columnist Charles Blow explained. You destroy people's prospects, they'll destroy your property. All right? I still say if it's a property you live in, don't destroy it. Tutor to you says, let me see. They said, the right wing. I was, okay. This whole right wing thing is some political stuff. But it's very interesting. I don't want to get into it. I'm just going to talk about a little bit. Right wing politics. Personally, I think don't worry about what their name is. Look at what they say and what they do. And you need to know the law. Everybody needs to be studying law right now because we're dealing with that's the animal you're dealing with. When the police stop you, you need to know the law. You need to know your rights, and you need to know what they're supposed to be doing and things like that. You know, that goes with people that's watching that situation. So people with right-wing politics view society having hierarchies, right? Bam, bam. Like, you ever see the feudal lord system? You got the king, then you got the lords. Oh, they got their little lands and stuff like that. The king's court, the knights, and all that stuff. So it's a hierarchy. Qualities that result as being the natural outcome of traditional social differences or the result of competition in the market economics. Now that, I'm going to say that again because this ain't a political or science class, but this is very important because if you have people thinking like this, you have a serious problem. So they say from to you, they're saying that right-wing politics views society having hierarchies, right? In order for it to be a hierarchy, they have to be people on the bottom, people low. You have to have serfs, like. You know what I'm saying? Toilet cleaners or garbage cleaners and people who are just not getting a whole lot out of the process. That's the hierarchy. Saying the value goes as you move up the hierarchy, the value, they're more valued people. So they say they have hierarchies and the inequalities that result as being the natural outcome of a traditional social differences or the result of competition in market economy. So, you know, black folks have been left out of that thing, right? We just started to get into that, right? Anyway, that's very important right there because the deck stack against you. How the hell are you going to compete in that right there? Anyway, right-wing politician in France supported hierarchy, tradition, and clericalism, that's involvement with church leaders in politics. Now, I don't know why the church leaders are involved in politics. They're supposed to be have allegiance to God. Well, that's another God they can have allegiance to. So right-wing in the United States has a different history in many. It's an integral part of the conservative movement, which supports American traditions such as republicanism and the rule of law, but also Judeo-Christian values, anti-communism, advocacy of American exceptionalism, and defending Western civilization from threats they perceive to be coming from moral relativism, where, for instance, terrorism from against U.S. interests is justified by reference to U.S. military actions. That's a whole show right there that I'll probably need somebody that's a political and military person to even explain that in a good way. But they also tend to support the free market. Free market, y'all. Oppose high taxes and any government and union encroachment on entrepreneurs running their businesses. All right, so they want that's for big business, basically. That's the short of that. Big business doing what they want to do with the least amount of government intervention. So that's very important to know that. Fascism is extreme militaristic nationalism contempt for electoral democracy and political and cultural liberalism, a belief in natural social hierarchy and the rule of elites. I hate to tell y'all, but we kind of got that right now. But I'm going to go ahead, though. And the desire to create a people's community. Fascism, the government system led by a dictator, right? I know what a dictator is, right? That's the boy say, do as I say, not as I do, right? He's an elite. He's the top of the hierarchy. He's the biggest shark in the pond, right? Having complete power, forcibly supposition and criticism, regimenting all industry, commerce, etc., and emphasizing an aggressive nationalism and often what? Racism. All right? Hate to say it. We're kind of there already, so. No, I hate to say it. We there. We just don't call it that. But that's exactly. Don't worry about what the name is. Just see if the shoe fits. Right? That's what I say. I don't care what they call each other or what they call themselves. Is, do you see that going on? That's what you should ask yourself. First, based on the comment on what they said. First, an economic system is not a natural system. It is created by men for the men who created it to prosper in it. Okay? Economic system, there's nothing natural about that. You understand what I'm saying? And people who are at the top of the economic system will suppress anybody who threatens their wealth. I think many people have been killed and wars have been fought over things like that. Anyway, there is nothing fair or just about it, and it is as discriminatory, violent, racist, classist, unjust, and corrupt as those who control and perpetuate it. All right? Don't get it twisted, y'all. Look at what it does. Anyone who believes and or speaks about a natural function in an economic system is delusional, indoctrinated, or simply lying. There is nothing natural about a man-made system. Nothing is naturally going to occur. Like, right-wing ideology appears to be shared by Adolf Hitler and Nazi Germany. I wonder if all of them Germans felt that way, or they just had to feel that way because they wouldn't get it. That is not a good look anyway. Fascism is characterized by a dictatorship. There are many ways to dictate overtly or subvertly, puppeteering, paying people under the table. There's many ways to dictate. So yeah, everybody's not a dictator that says, I'll cut your head off if you don't do what I say. I'll kill your whole family. Everybody's not doing it that way. Right? Some people are doing it with money. Some people are doing it with bribery. Got you. I got pictures of you with a little boy. Got you with little girls. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. All right? So we never know. It was traditional to own slaves in America, to discriminate against blacks and other minorities. Lynching was and appears to still be a tradition in America. That doesn't make it right. Hierarchy. In order to have a hierarchy, you have to have people who are subordinate. How many of y'all like being subordinate? And how many of y'all like being subordinate to a cruel master? And you don't even like the word master. I know nobody like that. But how many like being subordinate to a government, an employer, which is why they have unions, one of the functions of a union, and I know it's more to a union than that, but one of the functions of a union is because the employer is not going to treat you right, so the union is going to intervene. But how many like being subordinate to somebody who's not treating them right? Husband, how about that? A boyfriend, a girlfriend, you know, just treating you like a dog. Why you like that? You can guess who is going to be devalued. Those who have been conquered, those who are already devalued, those who are hated, and those who refuse or cannot change their oppressed position in society. Remember, when somebody is high, somebody has to be made low. When somebody is high, someone has to be made low, right? You got, I don't know how many teams in the NBA. You got the champions, right? You got the, I think they were the East and the West champions. They meet, the champion of the whole thing. And then you got who won the least amount of games. He at the bottom. Nobody likes being there. That's just a sport. And they millionaires playing ball. They do not like being the last team on the bottom of that hierarchy. Anyway, free market. And I could really get into some other stuff about this, but I'm not, because I just want to speak to this, because this is part of the reason why we having all these problems in this country. Because some of this stuff just ain't so. Free market. Let's be clear. You cannot do whatever you want to do. Unfortunately, some men are foul things, monsters, who prey on the ignorant. Trust and kindness of the people. They should not be free to poison, cheat, exploit for profit. They are unfit to lead and unworthy of the trust of the people. This is the short version. They must be held accountable for their actions, or they will continue to bring forth our destruction for their gain. All right? Because you can have peace with a person perpetuating death, possible. Social. And socialist ideologies are in direct conflict with capitalist ideology. Socialist ideology is people-orientated, supposedly. Right? Capitalist ideology is person or interest group orientated, or us and me orientated. One is us, other one is me. All right, one is us, other one is narcissistic me. One is us, the other one is selfish me. Right? At least theoretically, they are. We need to find a happy medium. Remember, if the people do not have control or power, someone else does. If you ask yourself, do you have control or power? I don't think so. I don't think people are out there rioting because they have control and power. I don't think people are even having a nonviolent protest because they have control and power. They are the people who get to dictate, the people that have control and power. If the people have power, they must be fair. They must be fair. If the people have power, they must fair, just, and perpetuate life-sustaining solutions over capital solutions and profit. That's very, very important, y'all. Oh, we have a caller. Hold on for a minute. Hold on, caller. Let me get you in here.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Well, thank you. I'm calling in regards to the situation, and there's a lot of hopelessness I see. I'm in an area near 52nd and Market. Those stores have been in business since I've lived in this area, 40-plus years. And I haven't seen it yet. It's all on TV how self-hate, when in areas that black-owned or black-employed for decades, the stores change over hands. But they never came up this far to do the damage they did on that street. I'm hearing 69th Street, I'm hearing a supermarket in a Parkside area. Thank God I was in Upper Darby. But that's self-hate. That's when you give up hope. The other thing is they keep saying, what we're going to do? First of all, they need to either vote or run for office themselves. A lot of them are young adults, college educated, so they need to go study who the representatives are, look at their history. If they're doing good work, put them back in. If they have nothing to show for it, vote them out by running themselves. Running themselves to learn how this thing works. They need to be in that run in that situation. The other thing is, you know, teach that to their children, what's going on, and groom their children to be in those offices. You know, there will be lawyers and doctors, and that's all good, but maybe they need to be a representative. Tell them, you could be a representative, make new and improve laws, because we know it takes time for them laws to be overturned. I was shocked to hear, you might have heard about it, that they just voted that the lynching would be abolished, and one person stopped it. And why that law is in place, that is not the majority, but one person allowed to strike down lynching law. I thought that was done away with decades ago. I said, really? Lynching law?
Why are you even talking about lynching?
It's still
right?
on the books. It's still on the books. Lynching. 99 representatives said, get rid of the law, you know, abolish it. And one person stopped it. Get in position, run for Congress so you can overturn this law until the majority when not, you got to have 100%. Because you're not going to have 100% in most things in life. That's not even realistic. Every now and then,
how is that possible?
Up,
they vote when a lot of people not even there pass the law.
Right.
You know
I don't understand it, but that's the
so
point.
How sudden, yeah.
People
how
are
on
mostly Caucasian
as,
males. They've been there forever. They make a good income. They like their job. More important, they like their money. And they need to be uprooted.
They like lynching.
Like Mike,
somebody
yeah, like, you know, that should have been gone.
Okay.
I was just shocked. And then Mike Connors, he's out of Kentucky. He ain't did nothing for that state. Why is he still sitting there? He's evil. You know, you can see in his face. He gave President Obama a hard way to go. And this president, they're so scared of him that he had bullied them because he know they like their job and he probably got skeletons on them just like they got skeletons on him.
Mm-hmm.
And thirdly, when the church doors are open, which we never thought they were closed, please attend a church in your area because at the end of the day, you need spiritual strength. Not built on your own strength. You need spiritual strength. And the churches in your area or maybe a little bit out of your area can give you that. And bring this situation to the church. Say, look, we need your help. But more important, we need the spiritual side. That's our beginning as a people. And this man that's off, God allowed him to be there. And if we don't vote, guess what? He'll be there again because the people that vote for him will vote again. He gives mixed messages. He says something nasty on Monday and walk it back on Tuesday. But remember, he meant what he said on Monday. That's his base he talked to when he first told those negative things, like telling the military to use force and hurt people. He meant that.
Right.
He just gives them a code. It's like a code word to them.
Right.
Then when his people say, look, you should have said that, he said, oh, I didn't mean that. He walks it back.
Right.
But remember what he said the first time. He meant it. He is what he is, period. And we as Christians supposed to be praying for him. It's hard to do. My prayer for him that he be broken down to his knees and get saved. That's my prayer, broken. Until he gets broken in his mind, he's a Putin lover. That's dictatorship. He worships Putin of Russia. So he's trying to style this country like this style. He likes why Russia is run, a dictatorship. And guess what? That's what we got. Because the Republicans are very scared, and I'm ashamed of them. I'm a Democrat, but I never see Republicans that scared of anything. But you can.
Sure.
Yeah, you can be that. There's your Hitler. He couldn't have done what he did without masterminding and bullying those people. And
right.
It's the spirit still here. So just forget about him because he is what he is when he first got on the job. That's who he is. That's who he is. But we can do something about having as many people as possible in another party and run ourselves it might be too late to run, you know, for the 4th November election. But get ready, because this off-year election is important, because that's where your judges and those people that make those decisions about when a cop kill one of us again, because they will do that. Get real.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
but there's no cameras. We would have known what this Gloria Ford, if there was no cameras, we would have known about it.
That's right.
Because this man has done this before. He didn't get to that level of evilness overnight. They
mm-hmm.
said the whole thing, the records on him. That means that apartment didn't do their job. He should have been gone. If he had been gone, that man would not have been dead. One man
mm-hmm.
makes a difference. And guess what? One man's death made a difference. Good or bad, because the nation and the world is, when they saw that man die like that and call out his mouth, Lord have mercy. Oh, that touched
tragic.
Many a person's heart. And that's one man, death, in this case, could make a difference. And one man's life could make a difference. Teach that to your children and your grandchildren. You are important. You could die for something that's not your fault, but it could be the match, and it's literally a match that sparked the whole world. And George Ford has done that in his death.
Mm.
Not in his life. We didn't know him in his life. Just
right.
his family, and you know. But in his
right.
death, you know, that's a story on that. That's a sermon for the preachers out there. But anyway, don't give up hope. We could just two things to do. When the church doors open, run in there for spiritual nourishment and be built up to know we're not who they call us. Number two, everybody should be voting on the 4th of November. They got mail-ins now. I did my first mail-in this time, me and my family member, and I said, wow, this is great. And you can do it before the election. Put it in their mailbox,
mm-hmm.
and you're good to go. So they need to push that throughout the United States, mail-ins. And then third thing, vote and run for election yourself and
right.
be the change that makes the change. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
Okay, y'all heard that? Some good advice. And it's best to focus on. No, remember the people. Remember, if the people do not have control or power, somebody else does. They are the people who get to dictate. If the people have power, they must be fair, just, and perpetuate life-sustaining solutions over capital solutions and profit. People over profit. That's not what capitalism does, y'all. I don't know if y'all know that. It is best to focus on what they all say and do. Don't get caught up in the name or what they say they stand for, left or right, or in the middle. Oppression is oppression, no matter how you dress it up. Remember, people are not always who or what they say they are. That is also true for some political systems. It's sad, but it's true. Oh, we have another caller. Caller, welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hello.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking? The protest is good. There's something else that we as a people need to do. We need to, what's that word? When you decide you're not going to buy, what they call that? Boycott.
Boycott.
They need to boycott. Like people, as a group of people, we need to say for a week or a certain time, we're not going to buy anything. Because blacks, they say African Americans spend about so many billions of dollars a year. you know, yet when it comes to the groups of races within America, we're on the lowest of the totem pole. We have no money Okay, we're considered to have no money. In other words, the money within the black community only stays in there for like an hour, then it's gone. You know, when it was a time like in the 60s in the African-American community, you had a lot of black-owned businesses, so the money stayed and circulated within the community. And from an economic standpoint, the black community was fine, whereas on overall, when you look at the nation, they were failing economically. So the change happened when they did integration. You know, people started moving out to the suburbs, different places, and when you went there, they needed to hire more people in order to deal with the influx of new people moving out there, et cetera. So they started to do well. But what happened within the city, in the black community, those stores start to close down. You know, so that was the issue. But I think I had read somewhere right down in South Africa, when those people got tired of oppression and everything that they were going through, that the way they got the attention of those in charge was via boycott. They stopped spending their money. And we just talked about how this is a capitalistic society, and this thing is about gain and money. You see what I'm saying? And look, and remember when they had the march by the immigrants, that there was so many people marching, they shut down stores. You understand what I'm saying? They shut down stores, not meaning like they demanded they be closed, but the people who worked those stores were marching. And that affected business. You understand what I'm saying? So we there, yes, you vote, I believe in that, to help change laws, but they only understand pain. You understand what I'm saying? They like money. And what would really get their attention, is stop buying their stuff.
Human suffering doesn't get their attention. That's what you just said. Human suffering doesn't get their attention. Murder. They don't care about that. If you mess with their money,
They don't really care about that, because I think the people who care about that are the same people who were talking before. You understand what I'm saying? But as far as new people talking about it, I'm going to say no. People are sitting there, you know, their way of thinking, and they're not moved by it. They don't see any problem by it. And then you look at how the media, like one person, this one pastor was saying, what happens is they start to vilify the victim, which is exactly what they're doing with George Floyd. You know, you got two autopsy reports, the one saying that he had fentanyl in his system, you know, he had cannabis in his system, you know, as if that justified this guy being murdered, okay? And then there was another report that was supposed to be done independently of, I guess, the state or county, in which
we got one of the best guys to do the independent autopsy. Best guys in the United States. This guy was in on President Kennedy.
Right. He said he died from asphyxiation, but he also said, you know, they said he had heart disease. You know, just bringing up all this stuff as if
that guy
this
said
guy
he wish he had on veins and arteries like him.
This guy who said, this guy, as if the guy who killed him is not accountable, because, look, he could have died. How did you know this? How did you know heart disease didn't kick in? He just died, you know. So
yeah,
it's a lot
of
monkey stuff.
That's the coroner, right?
That's a lot of monkey stuff, and they're trying to vilify this and lessen the fact that this guy murdered this guy, as if because of his quote-unquote character, he wasn't worth living. You know what I mean? that the murder was justified. You know, like he was some kind of riffraff or something like that.
Like, so what?
So what? He was scum. You know, that kind of attitude. But the coroner, the independent guy said the part of the heart that they used to test, they didn't give it to him so he could test it. You know, and I didn't hear anything about his toxicology report. They didn't mention it. You know, they only tell you what they want you to hear. So whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I think that if black people could come together, which is such an issue because that self-hate is so indoctrinated in us from slavery. You know what I mean? It's hard for us to come together as a people. But we need to say, no, we're not going to spend another dime, you know, on anything. Just try. Even if you could do it, I understand you got to do it for a week. One day would hurt because we spend the most money. You understand what I'm saying? Just do it again. And keep on doing it until you get the attention. But something else I noticed, too. They had one girl who was arguing with these people who were in her neighborhood, and I don't know what city that was. But she was telling them how, don't come around here looting because there's senior citizens here that need to get their money from their drugstore over there. They go to that cash, you know, check cash in place, you know, the seniors to whatever. And when they showed the people she were talking to were white people. You know, because they'll get an impression that it's all the black people. And unfortunately, I think they had people who kicked it off and then they just finished it off. I thought it was kind of odd that when you look in the black community that there were particular stores targeted. They weren't marching up on Parkside. I don't even think they were marching up on 52nd Street. You understand what I'm saying? Or up there 57th and Vine. Or the 63rd with a Rite Aid and the Walgreens. They weren't protesting up there. But yet you had people who went to these designated areas, designated stores, and looted and vandalized those stores within the black community. So that by the next day you woke up, you had no access to things that you would need. You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
I don't think that was isolated because of the rage because of George Floyd's death. I think it was planned and calculated. And there's something that I believe. You understand what I'm saying? That was a planned and calculated thing by somebody or some people who told these people to go out and do this stuff. And then instead of us going to the site and saying, get out of our neighborhood, you know, stop breaking in our stores, we joined in the fray. You see what I'm saying?
Long Beach Crips prevented people from coming in their community. You know the Crips, all right?
They're a gang. That's all I know.
That's a gang. Right. And they stopped that. They defended their community.
Right, but who was coming in?
Well, I've seen the people they were talking to. They look like it's white.
Right. That's the point I'm making.
Because I don't think no black guy would have came over there. If once they see the Crips out there, that's it. You know not to go over there because you know what's going to happen after that.
Right. And then another thing about the looting, it's not like you had your everyday Joe Blow say, oh, they bring it in the store, I'm going to go in and get some sneakers, you know. These are people who generally steal. You understand what I'm saying? Who live that kind of life apart from protests and riots. They're thieves within the community. And they just saw an opportunity.
Right.
Right. But that's their thing. That's their thing. You know, your people who the honest living didn't just say, oh, I'm going to loot this store, because these are the people within, you know, those communities who live like that.
Right. Looters. That's correct.
Right. Thieves. You know.
Hmm?
They want no new people who know just woke up and say, hey, let me go in the store. No. These are people who every day scheming and scamming and trying to get over on people.
Mm-hmm. Also, I heard there was some out-of-state people involved in that, too.
Yeah, them, too. Well, I believe a lot of them people that came and you know, did what they were, whatever they were doing, like those white people, they're probably the out-of-staters. But I just thought it was interesting when you look in the black community, how within, you know, especially when you look here in Philly, how they went through all these neighborhoods and attacked the stores that were vital to the black community. I thought that was interesting. You know, I just thought that was interesting. That has to be calculated. You attack Rite Aid. Rite Aid here, there. You see what I'm saying? I isolate this.
They had a plan, and they carried it out.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah, they had a plan. They
and then we don't have sense. I'm glad to hear the Crips. They're not coming in here.
Mm-hmm.
But around here, people's like, oh, yeah, opportunity. You know, with no thought, this little instant gratification, not looking down the road, that now, I can't even go out and go anywhere nearby and pick up a loaf of bread.
Nope.
You can't get anything.
Right.
And then you don't even have the mindset for some of these stores, you devastated them so bad, they might never recover.
That's right. Or some of them don't have the insurance.
You might not have a supermarket in your neighborhood anymore. You know, I'm just saying, based on the dumb stuff that took place, which had nothing to do with George Floyd.
Right.
But that's just something that we as a people need to consider. Stop spending money in the wrong place. We do need to start supporting more black-owned so that we could gain economic wealth, so that we can have more say. If they're not going to listen to you, this one guy, Claude Anderson, you don't listen to nobody. You don't have no money. See? Because you can't sit up and say, we're going to pull our money out of this. We're going to stop doing this like other people do. You know. Because we don't have anything. But I say we got buying power when you just start with that. We're not going to buy that. We're going to keep our money for 2 days. Say no to everything. Or pick a thing. You see what I'm saying? When you do that, pick another thing. Then pick another thing. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
We could do that. That's what they did in South Africa. Woke people up.
We're about to see what's going to happen. There's a lot
you think somewhere, like it just should be illegal to do that chokehold. And does that need to be a federal law or something? You understand what I'm saying? No chokehold.
Chokehold is lethal.
None of this is in the back. It's all lethal. They said that they're trained. Just laying somebody on their stomach suppresses their respirations. So they're trained that if they handcuff somebody who's on their stomach, they're to turn them over immediately and sit them up. Why? Because you already know that position alone, you're suppressing respirations.
Right.
You're not supposed to leave them on your stomach like that. And then you need to be accountable for when you don't follow protocol. Because I know in my job, if you don't follow protocol, they weren't going to back you. You understand what I'm saying? There was policy for this, a policy for that. So when things go wrong, and just say, like in the scheme of things, yeah, this is the policy, but you know, you're taking shortcuts there, shortcut there, here and there. Well, nobody says anything as long as the outcome is acceptable. You understand what I'm saying? But as soon as those same shortcuts that you've been doing for years cause a life, they're going to bring you the policy. And if you don't follow that policy, you don't have no support. So I'm saying that's what they need to make that a law and make it illegal.
Right.
And as far as the
to me, you don't need a law. You just need to be an ethical, moral person. You don't need a law to know you shouldn't be choking nobody like that. You shouldn't do that. And he was medically needy, so he shouldn't even been on the ground.
No, it's the same thing to me. You shouldn't need an anti-lynching law because there's a homicide law. You know what I mean?
Right.
Kill him.
And the guy that
didn't
vote for
it,
he needs to be kicked out of the house or wherever.
Rand Paul, they need to vote him out.
Yeah, he needs to be kicked out. Like, pick him up and throw him out of there. Hell with the vote.
Right.
Throw him out. Tell him don't come back.
But I'm sure Rand Paul spoke a lot of things that a lot of people feel. He just spoke up. That's all. Because they don't see anything wrong with it. You know, what's your problem? Because they still do it.
Right. And because they don't value you.
Right. So they don't see a problem. They don't even understand.
Why would they?
Why are you more?
Why would they see a problem? They don't see a problem killing cows, right? Huh?
But we're not cows.
So, yeah, well, there's a lady that said... A lady called us cows. Some soccer player's wife said that people need to be shot. They're protesting against racism and police brutality. They're disgusting, like cattle.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I know a lot of people mad because, look, you know what they did before? They brought out the hoses and the dogs. And whatever else they were, the pepper spray and all that gas. But they don't
use
understand.
All that.
They
see dogs, though. Did you see dogs? I don't remember seeing dogs.
Yeah, they had dogs on people. They had water holes. Not with this protest, no.
I'm talking about this.
I'm not talking about this.
They would let a dog go on somebody. That thing would turn worse.
I say they don't understand why they still allowed the march, because before... They brought the hoses out. They brought the dogs out. You know, they used a whole lot of aggressive tactics that they're not using now. And I'm sure people don't like that.
Okay, well, as far as looting is concerned, looting is referred to as sacking or ransacking, plundering, despoiling, or pillaging. And indiscriminately taking of goods by force, part of a military or political victory, during a catastrophe such as a war, natural disaster, something like that. So looting usually comes after of violence. Violence and looting kind of go together. And it's after something, traumatic has happened. So in terms of people looting, you would think looting is has more of a connection to theft than to political protest. If looting has was connected to a political protest, what would be the reasoning? Directly, looting may have a connection to a political action. Law and civil enforcement are only effective for as long as people agree and adhere to those laws. All people. The absence of law and order is anarchy. Just as violence begets more violence, anarchy begets more anarchy. When those who are dominant act, behave, ordain, legislate themselves to be above the law, it is indicative of a society of lawlessness. Looting just becomes a lawless response to unequal treatment under the law or anarchy or lawlessness. If they do not subject themselves to the law, I will not subject myself to the law. F you, right? Basically. In this way, people are equally lawless. If we can't be treated equally or justly under the law, we too will become lawless. The social contract has been broken by lawless authorities, administrators, politicians, and enforcers facilitating and perpetuating anarchy. Looting appears to be a social, emotional, and economically motivated phenomena. Somehow I sense that the looting begins long before the social, emotional, and economically deprived began to pillage. Looting does not have a connection to the objective of the protest, especially if that protest is a nonviolent protest. The destruction of necessary community resources is an attack on a community that depends on those resources. I cannot say that even more. I know people are angry, but you cannot hurt yourself because you've been injured by your government. Don't hurt yourself. That's self-mutilation. Okay, so basically, you see, we have all types of messages being sent through these last couple of weeks because we have different people with different agendas. And I just want to, again, as I open up, I want to give the thumbs up to the police who took a knee. I think it was the Minneapolis Police Department. I don't know if any other ones did, but any police officer department that took a knee with the protesters, talked to the protesters. You know, and I want to again get a shout out to the Long Beach Crips for protecting their hood from the, all that, you know, carnage. You know, and I saw a little video of them, and you know, they weren't outlandish. They weren't you know, doing nothing outlandish. They're just making people, letting people know, if you come this way, you can get your head knocked off. So you know, don't come here with that loot and stuff. So I want to you know, that is a gang that actually defended their community, which is I got to give it to them, you know, for their reputation. That was a twist right there. I don't know if they've been doing that or something that they started, but that was a hell of a move for the police and for the Long Beach Crips. I want to thank everybody for calling in today. All speakers, I mean the people who listened but didn't say anything. I want to thank you. I'm going to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host the show. Mr. Kenny Jones, Blog Talk Radio, and I want to thank Mr. Paris Harden for getting our theme music back up. Thank you very much. As you can see, we're back on the air with our theme music, and everybody, you know, learn from this experience. Because we might be headed back around the time that these guys go to court to something similar to this. We don't want to tear up our community. You don't want to tear it up. They're gonna give you back what you need. They're gonna replace something. Some things might not be replaced because you might have tore up a business where somebody's not ready, can't come back from it. You don't want to do that. Don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt people who really don't have anything to do with what's going on. So until next time, you know, I want everybody, you know, each one reach one, each one teach one. And for now, we got to be strong, all right? You know, you had a right to defend yourself, but you don't want to make yourself a target. You don't want to cause nobody to need to become aggressive towards you. So remember, you cannot destroy negative images if you perpetuate those negative behaviors that have been attributed to you. When you perpetuate negative images that are attributed to you, you validate those negative images of you, thus validating the perception and treatment you receive in society, at least in the minds of some people. Because you don't validate it, because one person's action don't validate the actions for all people. You know, everybody has people who does things, who loots, who steals, who kills and murders and things like that. But we need to pull our resources together and maintain the resources that we have. Good night, y'all. See you next week.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.